Well, once again, this is Pastor Phil Fernandez of Trinity Bible Fellowship. I know that we're all going through difficult times here with this coronavirus and the quarantine and a lot of people out of work. And, you know, I really tip my hat to those, you know, that are in support services, whether they're doctors or police officers or whatever it may be, and nurses helping to take care of people and the grocery store workers. But my heart also goes out to those who are out of work right now. And so I think it's really, really a tough time for America. And I just hope that our government makes the right decisions. I'm not sure that there always are. And I think that if we destroy the economy in an attempt to defeat the virus, we might end up having worse public health issues, because there's no such thing as an physically healthy, impoverished nation. But this is Good Friday. We celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just, I want to just remind us, suffering is a part of life. But we Christians alone can truthfully say that our God has joined us in our sufferings. So I titled this message, Good Friday, Jesus Knows What It's Like. Good Friday, Jesus Knows What It's Like. I want to read, get some historical context of Christ's crucifixion from Luke 23, verses 33 to 46. Luke 23, verses 33 to 46. And it says, "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him," the Lord Jesus, "and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among them. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' Now there was also an inscription above him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other answered and rebuking him said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom.' And he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise.' And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus crying out with a loud voice said, 'Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." And so here we have Jesus dying on the cross. Of course, the scriptures are very clear that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took our punishment for us. You know, on the Phil Fernandez show, I probably had six or seven different programs in the last week or so that just dealt with different aspects of the crucifixion of Christ and why Jesus died and why we celebrate the Lord's Supper and why salvation's only through Jesus. And so I really encourage you to not just subscribe to the Phil Fernandez show, but to also look at these previous sermons so you get a good amount of information and biblical doctrine on the crucifixion. But Good Friday shows us that Jesus knows what it's like. We serve a God who knows what it's like to be rejected by his people. He came to the Jewish people, and they rejected him. Even the world rejected him, and he was their creator. The creator visited the world, and the world rejected him. The Messiah visited his people, who should have known better with the Old Testament prophecies. But he was rejected by his own people. So Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected by his own people. Okay, it hurts when nobody believes in you. And he had a small following. But how many times you're trying to serve Jesus and people or you're trying to just do something, serve mankind, and people just think you're a failure. And it hurts when nobody believes in you. But Jesus, he knows what it's like to be rejected by his people. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by a friend. The Old Testament in the Psalms, it predicts that Jesus would be betrayed by a friend. Judas Iscariot was his friend. They were both pro-Israel. They were very nationalistic. They both wanted the Messiah to come. But Judas was all in it for the political power. And when Jesus started predicting he was going to suffer and die, Judas decided to side with Jesus' enemies and betray Jesus. So Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed by a friend. How many of us have been betrayed by friends? And it hurts. Well, Jesus knows that hurt. Jesus can truly say, politicians tell us all the time, but Jesus can really say, I feel your pain. I know what you're going through. Jesus knows what it's like to be abandoned by his closest friends. He knows what it's like to be alone. I don't care how many people were there to witness the crucifixion. And of course, there are two other guys crucified alongside of Jesus. But when you're suffering and dying like that, you're dying alone. And here, God created us. God the Son became a man, our Creator became a man, and he loved to spend time with the apostles and with people. He had his alone time with God, but he liked being around people. But here, he died alone. And how many people right now are in hospitals with the virus, and their loved ones can't even visit them, and they're dying alone? But Jesus knows what it's like to be abandoned by his closest friends. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be ridiculed and mocked. The ones he created, the ones he came to save, they mocked him and ridiculed him. So you saved others, save yourself, come down from this cross. So he knows what it's like to be ridiculed and mocked. Most professing Christians in America today, we don't even have the courage and the boldness to share our faith because we don't want to be ridiculed and mocked. Jesus was willing to be ridiculed and mocked. He knows what it's like to be ridiculed and mocked. He knows what it's like to be publicly shamed. Crucifixion is not only the most painful way to die, but it was the most shameful way. Naked, nailed to a cross. I'm glad we make movies about Jesus. We have the Roman soldiers leaving Jesus' underwear on him. I wouldn't change that. I'd still portray Jesus in movies like that, but I doubt the Roman soldiers did it. I think they just nailed you naked to a tree because they were trying to shame you, to publicly shame you. And then to make you die a slow, agonizing, horrible death. That's why we get the word excruciating from the word crucifixion to describe the most horrible pain imaginable. Jesus knows what it's like to be ridiculed, mocked, and to be publicly shamed. He knows what it's like to be beaten. It's one thing for us to be beaten, but for the Creator to become one of us, to become a man, and allow his little dinky creatures to beat on him, he knows what it's like to be beaten. He knows what it's like to die a slow, painful death. And we encounter sufferings. And we say, how could God allow this kind of suffering? How could God allow that kind of suffering? God joined us in our sufferings on the cross. And how could God bring good out of horrible, evil things like the Holocaust? Well, one thing I know is that definitely the most unjust event in human history was when God became a man and we killed him. Sinners killed him. That's the most unjust event. Was God able to bring good out of that? Yes. Apart from that, there would be salvation for no one. And so God can bring good out of the evil and human suffering that we go through. But Jesus knows what it's like to be beaten and to die a slow, painful death. He knows what it's like to die and to die a slow, horrible, painful death. And Jesus also knows what it's like to be tempted, to go through trials, and to go through temptations. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about Matthew 4, where Satan tempted Jesus three times, but in other ways he was tempted. He was tempted when he was on the cross, and they said, you know, you saved others, save yourself, come down from the cross. But he, you know, as the Creator, he had the power to do that. He had the power to call on angels, thousands of angels, to protect him. But he chose to take that punishment for us. And so he was tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 18. For since he, that's Jesus, since he himself was tempted in that which we have suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. We have a God who could tell us, I know what what you feel. I've experienced it myself. And so, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. And then Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in a time of need. We could find grace to help in a time of need from the Lord Jesus, because he was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. This is why Jesus could say in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a lot of us that need rest right now. There's a lot of us that are hurting. But Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like to die. And we can come to him in our time of need. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest, says Jesus. This is why Peter could say in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. If you're suffering right now, if you're going through difficult times, you just remember, Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected, betrayed by a friend, abandoned by his closest friends. He knows what it's like to be alone, to be ridiculed, mocked, and shamed. He knows what it's like to be beaten and to die a slow, painful death. And he knows what it's like to be tempted. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer. And so we serve a God who not only is close enough to us, imminent enough, because God the Son became a man to feel our pain, but he is still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is still transcendent enough and big enough to heal our pain. And that's what Good Friday is all about. God the Son became a man to suffer and to die for us. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected, to be alone, to suffer, and to die. Now, a couple days we'll be celebrating Easter, that God the Father accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. He accepted the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus as a covering for our sin, and then he raised him from the dead to conquer death for us. Please stay in touch with us at Trinity Bible Fellowship. You could get in touch with us through mailing, P.O. Box 3264. It's P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington, 98310. That's 98310. Or you can go to the website, philfernandez.org, or you could go to sermonaudio.com/IBD, and that's the slash under the question mark, sermonaudio.com/IBD. We air my sermons live. We'll be airing our Easter sermon live on sermonaudio.com/IBD this Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And so we'd love to invite you to listen to that. But God bless you. God be with you. And in the midst of your sufferings, you just remember, we have a God that loves us and a God who knows what it's like to suffer. So we praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will praise his name. Even if the world mocks us, even if the world beats us, we will proclaim the name of Jesus until the day that he returns and takes his stand upon the earth to make things right. God bless you all. Be safe.